Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
How could it be different? But our subject today is children are a gift of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible text is from Psalm 127, verse 3, which says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." Children are not a mistake or an accident. The day of their birth was long determined by God, long before. It says in Psalm 139, verse 16, "Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your body they were all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them." So before the days were done, before you were formed, God has known you. Children are a gift from God. They are not unexpected. Some people, they say, "Oh, it happened, an accident happened." There is no accident. That path was prepared. But unfortunately, many are departing from that path. In the same way that men are happy when a baby smiles at them, in the same way, God, heaven rejoices when one person is born again and gives his life to Christ. The Bible has many verses about the Bible. Old and New Testament, you find a lot about it. Also, it draws many parallels between physical children and spiritual children. Now, life is a mystery. When you think about life, a baby is born, nice and cute, but the baby is growing up, and they themselves, they become parents, and they are getting old. So all the babies will get old one day. So that is the mystery of life. They become parents themselves and they grow old. Before you realize, a new generation has taken over. People who were born long years after you, they become your leaders, your politicians, and your doctors. My doctors, they're all younger than me. At one time, we looked down on them as a children, but now they are our leaders. They were born long after you, but they overtake you. Our opening verse is in the Message translation. It sounds a little bit different. It says in Psalm 127:3 in the Message translation, "Don't you see that children are God's best gift?" Children are God's best gift. The fruit of the womb, his genuine legacy. Children are the best gift that God is giving you. But as it is with every gift, you also have a responsibility. When you receive money, it's your responsibility what you do with that money. You want to save it, you want to spend it. What do you want to spend it on? So it's your responsibility what you do with it. It's the same when you receive a car. It's your responsibility to care for that car, to look after it, that it runs well. So when you receive a child, you have a responsibility to train her on the right way. The Bible has countless verses about how to raise a child. Some are familiar and some are not very well known. They're not being talked about. When God gave the law in Deuteronomy, he said they should teach it to the children. Teach it to the children. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 19, "You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you are, when should you talk to the children about the law? When you are in a house, when you walk by the way, when you lay down, and when you raise up. So you should tell your children the law of God always. You teach them to your children. Today, most children, they don't like to go, they are not much interested in the Bible. Because parents are not interested in the Bible, and they prefer to watch cartoons and some bad films. Proverbs 22, verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So if you train your child cartoons and movies, that is what they will follow. If you train your children to the social media, like TikTok, many children have committed crimes and even committed suicide. So if you train your child like that, that is what is going to come. So what your child, what you train your child, he will remember when he's grown up, or she's grown up. What you learn as a child, that will form your life. Therefore, it is so important to teach our children the truth of the Bible, how to communicate to other people. Pastor Chris, he said, when he was born, his grandfather spoke some words into his ears. And people, they laughed, they said, how can this child understand what you're saying? But that is not true. A child is not a lump of meat. A child has a spirit. And a spirit can understand. A child has to learn why you go to church. A child has to learn what is reverence to the house of God. I didn't know what church was, but I was always taken to the church by my mother. And sometimes meetings were going on for very long, in the evenings even. I was laying in front of her feet, lying on the church, but she would not let me stay at home. I had to be in the church. It is our responsibility that our child loves God and loves the church. That cannot be taught by the pastor. It's the parents' responsibility. If the child doesn't love the church, it is the parents who have missed out something. A parent has to teach the child the importance of being born again. Many missed out on this point, and they wondered, when the child has grown up, why they don't follow the way of God. But they have never learned from their parents. God has a plan for every human being. He said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in my womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. Don't think that a small child doesn't know anything. They know very well. God has formed the baby how it should be. So God's plan for this baby must be fulfilled. Every birth has a purpose. No birth happens by accident. It has a purpose. So before created the universe, he had a plan for your life. You are not a coincidence and you're not a mistake. You are worthy so much that Jesus gave his life for you. When we believed on him, when we were born again, we became children of God, And therefore we can call God our Father. Even in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to say, Our Father in heaven. As a small child pleases you when he smiles at you, so we have to please our Heavenly Father. He is much higher, and still we call him Father. We have to understand who this God is. The Old Testament describes the God as a father in different ways. Moses described him as a father who redeemed them. Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 6, it says, Do you thus deal with the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is he not your father who bought you? Has he not made you and established you? He said that irreverence towards God is wrong because he has made us. He has made us. Jeremiah wrote, I am the father to Israel. Isaiah said the same, I am the father to Israel. That was in the Old Testament. Today we say, God is the father of us. You put your name. In Psalm 103, we have a wonderful description of our God. In verse 13, it says, As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Throughout the Old Testament, it's acknowledged, he is acknowledged as gracious and merciful. Our God is merciful, says the psalmist, and affirms that his mercy is everlasting. It doesn't stop. God is never changing. He's always the same. Hallelujah. While God is merciful, his mercy cannot be demanded or earned. God's mercy doesn't build. God's mercy does not blindly pardon. He is guided by the principle of justice and holiness. Those who reject his mercy and forgiveness, they will be punished. They are losing out. But in the Old Testament, we see that God longs to be with his people. As indicated by the words that he spoke to Moses, when he said, Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. So God wants to dwell amongst us. He also has the relationship with us. He's also a redeeming God, the God of Exodus, who miraculously led the nation of slaves to freedom. God the Father is not some distant, far away God who has no interest. He's close and he's involved in what is happening in this world. You can know him personally, as Job affirmed, when despite of many trials, he said, I know that my Redeemer lives. Yeah. Old Testament. Yeah. I know that my Redeemer lives. The Psalms are filled with the reverence of God of the Old Testament, being as God a refuge. God is our refuge and a strength and very pleasant help in trouble. We read in Psalm 46:1. A God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in mercy and truth. Psalm 86. The God of the Old Testament is also described as a God of forgiveness. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
It says in Micaiah chapter 7, verse 18 and 19, Who is a God like you? Pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He does not retain his anger forever. Because he delights in mercy, he will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Of the sea. Our God is so good. He's a God of goodness, a God of faithfulness, a God of salvation, but also of vengeance. For example, in Isaiah 35:4, we can read, "Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong and do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, when with the recompense of God, he will come and save you." Remember that God's vengeance is reserved for those who reject him. Notice God's vengeance. Paul wrote about the Father in 1 Corinthians 8:6. "Yet for us there is one God and Father, of whom all things, of whom are all things, and we for him, one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all are, one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we live." Paul is worshipping God in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, where it says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for from the whole family in heaven and earth is named." The fullest revelation that we have in the Bible is Jesus Christ. Many came to Jesus to accuse, to ridicule, to scorn him. And even today, the same thing is happening. Jesus is being mocked. The name of Jesus mocked is called different names, and those who are preaching the gospel are being arrested, as happened again this week in Canada. You are not permitted to speak the truth nowadays. Yet the name of Jesus is the most beautiful name, for there is no other name by which we can be saved. It is the Lord Jesus who brought us back to the communion with a living God. Trusting in the name of Jesus is accepting him as the incarnate Son of God, who came into the world as a substitute for our sin. It is believing that Christ died, was buried, was resurrected, and obtained our salvation.
Amen.
It is trusting that his astonishing sacrifice paid the price for our sin, and that by faith we are born again into the family of God. It is believing that the consequence of sin is death, but that Jesus paid the penalty of sin by dying on the cross for us. It is believing that Jesus took the punishment that we deserve, and that through faith in him, yes, our sin has been blotted out forever.
Amen.
We have been declared righteous by God and covered in Christ's own perfect righteousness. We have been adopted into the family of God and being rewarded the right to be called children of God.
Amen.
It is by faith in the person and work of the only begotten Son of God that we are granted this privilege.
Amen.
It's a privilege that we are called children of God.
Amen.
It says, "For as many who as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in his name."
Amen.
What a wonderful thing.
Amen.
To believe in his name does not imply that we believe in Jesus as a historical figure like Caesar or Napoleon. It does not believe to believe in the Bible in an intellectual exercise. To believe in his name Amen. Means to accept everything that the Bible talks about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's only one way to be saved.
Amen.
Believe on the name of Jesus Christ and you will be saved.
Amen.
There's only one way to become a child of God. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be given the right to become a child of God.
Amen.
There's only one way to be born again. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is indeed the light of the lights that came into the world. For it was in him and through him and by him that all was created when God said, "Let there be light." Created light is but a dim shadow of the true light of the world that lights every man and woman that comes into the world.
Okay.
So that all who receive him and believe in his name will have the authority to become children of God.
Okay.
These things you are to teach to your children.
Mm-hmm.
Portray the name of Jesus as a name that they love. Dedicating our children to God is not a one-time act.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ongoing process of teaching our children the truth of Jesus Christ and to make them love God. Make them love God. Make them serve God. No age is too young to worship God. Teach the children not to love the world, but to love the world, but to love God. And the Holy Spirit will teach their hearts and instruct them. Don't think the Holy Spirit only came for adults. He came for small children. Then what they have learned as children will be done for them when they become adults.
Mm-hmm.
What I learned as a 3-year old was what I still practice today. On Sunday, you go to church. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Amen.